oh my gosh, I should be working on my freelancing clients' work. I should be doing all those tasks. I should be doing that for them. But then it prevented me from doing the necessary tasks that I needed to do in order to actually grow my business. And I had a phase of like really not knowing what my priorities were and not really understanding what my motivation to do certain things was. And so when I was able to kind of understand that and see that and then take the step back and be like, okay, what is it that I actually want to accomplish in a year? What is it that will drive me to accomplish that? What will help me accomplish that? And what's preventing me from accomplishing that? What's making it harder, whether it's like in the big picture or in the day to day, like the dread that I have for these other tasks or being interrupted during, my deep work hour and having to answer urgent emails and just things like that. It's like, okay, is this actually urgent? Is this actually my priority? Or am I allowing someone else's priorities and someone else's urgent needs to kind of mask as my own? And why am I doing that? Why am I so afraid to, kind of say, that's actually not urgent.
Welcome back to Secrets of a Corporate Game. So many people are trying to navigate a corporate world that is laden with secrets, cleverly hidden and unspoken rules to a game that most employees don't even know they're playing. On this podcast, we try to give you a peek behind the curtain and unveil some of those secrets with tips and tricks that you can apply today to start taking control of your career and progress up the ladder faster.
Hey everybody, I am so excited about today's episode. We are going to be talking about a new topic for our podcast, one that I'm really excited to bring to you guys. It is going to be about optimizing your productivity and your productivity mindset with Emily Guerra. And I'm so excited to have her. Her passion and her mission are to empower women to overcome mindset barriers so that they can optimize and effectively boost their productivity. So, welcome, Emily. I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, why don't you tell listeners a little bit about your background, right? You started in a different career and a different life, and it's kind of morphed into this business that you run now. Why don't you get them up to speed?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I was actually a wedding planner in my past life. And then when COVID-19 happened and lockdown happened, weddings were not happening. So I kind of had to figure out, okay, do I want to wait for lockdown to end? Or do I want to pivot and start actually making some more money again and getting back into the business? And so I decided to pivot and I started freelancing out some social media services to word of mouth clients and ended up building a freelancing business pretty quickly, which was so awesome and so fulfilling. And through helping my freelancing clients just boost their productivity and make our systems more productive together, one of my clients said, this is a really great business idea. Like, you have something here. You should really run with it. And so I did. And so after that, I created the Productivity Flow, which is my one-on-one productivity life coaching business. A lot of people know what productivity coaching is. A lot of people know what life coaching is. Not a lot of people know what productivity life coaching is. And so I work to unite both personal and professional development because I strongly believe you cannot have professional development without first focusing on the personal development. And so that's really what I do. I just, like you said, help women overcome different mindset hurdles so that way they can actually boost their productivity. And it's been so, oh my gosh, my AirPod just fell out. So love when that happens.
Recording real time.
Exactly. Can you tell? So it's been so fun just being able to talk with other self-employed women and talk about different mindset hurdles and figuring out different ways that we can work together to move forward. And so that's really my whole passion, my whole mission nowadays, and what I do.
I absolutely love that, and it's something that, like, for me, I have a full-time corporate job. I run a full-time coaching business. I have social media, YouTube, podcasts, right? Like, you have to be productive. You have to be on. And I always joke with friends of mine, they're like, how do you have so much time? I'm like, well, I don't have any more time than anybody else. I just have to be really, really careful about how I use it, right? And so I love this idea of, like, how do you bring, like, the life side together with the productivity side? So it's not, hey, have you tried time blocking? But it's also like, hey, here's how this mindset is going to have a factor. So I love that. I am curious, before we jump into the productivity view of things, Do you have any crazy wedding planning stories? Like, I just want to know, like, what is the craziest thing that you ever saw happen at a wedding?
So I did this one wedding that actually was put together in less than a month because it was a last minute event. I don't remember why it was so last minute, but it was. And the bride and groom were actually turning 18, and it was a Jewish Orthodox wedding, so it was very big and extravagant, the most extravagant I have ever seen. We turned a gym into a full-blown ballroom with chandeliers and everything. It was so incredible. And the fact that we were able to get that done in less than a month was shocking. Absolutely shocking. We had to find every vendor, we had to find every florist and like figure out how to make it work. And I think what really helped was that it was a no budget wedding. So that made it extra extravagant and extra easy. So just like that month experience right there was honestly so fun and a great test of, okay, how can I be productive? I need to be really, really productive in order to pull this wedding off. So like it really united a lot of what I do today back then.
That's too funny. As somebody who planned their wedding in 6 months, the idea of doing
Nice.
it in one is like psychotic to me. We're like,
Six months is really fast too. I'm impressed.
panicked in six, and I am a, like we talked about before we started recording, I'm a little bit of like a hyper productivity psycho. And so for me, like I planned my whole wedding and I sourced all my
Oh,
vendors and I did all of that myself. And my husband, who is like wonderful and amazing at the time, was like, I literally could not care less. Like, I just,
wow.
what? And then there were certain things that he was really opinionated on. Like, I think he
Of
picked
course.
bridesmaids' dresses because he was like, it has to be this color and it has to look like this. And I was like, what a weird thing for you to
That
decide.
is so
But the rest
funny.
of it was me just running full speed. And so the idea of doing
Oh
that, I
my
think,
gosh.
psychotic. So cool. I love that. What a great intro. So you talk a lot about mindset and productivity, how you bring those things together. So how does your mindset determine your productivity?
Well, it's so interesting how we think about productivity, right? It's all about action and doing. But if we really actually think about it, being productive means being in a state of mind. It means that you're in a headspace that allows you to be focused, motivated, effective, and all of the stuff that we think of as being productive, right? And so, in order to actually boost productivity, to actually be effective and do all the things, we have to kind of set our headspace up and make sure that our environment is set up in a way that allows us to do that. But we so often skip over that part because we're worried about getting all the things done. And so if we just took a moment real quick before we did that and actually set our mindset up for success and kind of took a beat and said, okay, what is my motivation for doing this? What do I need to be more focused? Where are the distractions? And how can I help my mindset be in the correct frame of mind to be productive? And so looking at it that way, I think is actually really empowering because then it gives you your power back. And then it makes it all about how you, as a person and as a working woman, can learn how to do these different strategies, but also feel empowered and not feel overwhelmed and not feel so all over the place all the time. And so when we focus on our mindset, we're able to do that day in and day out and kind of make it more habitual. And that's where we really get into the flow state and where we really feel like we, at the end of the week, we look back, oh wow, that was a great week. I got so much done. It happens because of our mindset, because we allow ourselves to get into that frame of mind.
I can see that also being really helpful when it comes to identifying like wasted time, right? Like,
Totally.
where have I been very productive, but for very little output, or like incorrectly focused my attentions, right? And I have a friend, Sam. She was on a previous podcast episode, and she talked about the 80-20 rule of like, are you spending right amount of time on the things that are actually going to drive 80% of your business, or are you wasting time on the 20? And when I did that exercise, I was like, oh my gosh, so much time that has been wasted on my side, right? And so your approach, I can see your clients not only helping them get ready to do the right work, but also realizing like, hey, here's all of the wrong work that was kind of buried in there too.
Totally. And one way that I do that is, firstly, I actually always redefine what productivity even means. It's so funny to me. Do you know what the actual definition of productivity is?
I don't know if I've ever Googled it, but now I want to.
Right? I know. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. So, what is the first word that comes to your mind when you think of productivity?
Think of a to-do list.
There
I
you
could take
go.
it
Okay.
as two words, but that would be.
That's fair. Word or phrase, I should have said. So, by definition, it actually just means getting a lot done. Like, that's a little crazy if you think about it, because can't you get a lot of the wrong stuff done? And why do you have to do a lot to be productive? So, realizing, okay, maybe getting a lot done is not the most productive way to go about productivity. Maybe it's more having the motivation, the focus, and the flow to get the right stuff done. So, how do you know what the right stuff is, though? How do you know? And that's where that 80-20 rule comes in. And I love that rule because I think it really is so effective. And it's a great book also, if anyone ever wants to read it. But it's really about understanding what your motivation is for something. And like, okay, if this is actually, let's say this is the 20% that is the most effective for me, but I really don't want to do it. And I don't have motivation to actually get in there and be productive today. Is it something that I can delegate? Is it something that I can just start for 5 minutes? Is it like, how can I do it? And just figuring out the best methods in order to actually boost your motivation, to boost your focus, and then consequently to boost your flow.
Yeah, I love that. And it's, Emily, you bring up so many interesting things that I think, especially within the entrepreneur space, but even like within the standard corporate space, something that I work with on clients a lot is like, yeah, you're doing a lot of work, you're working overtime. Do you need to be?
Exactly.
Right. And one of the things that I push on clients is, hey, if you set the right boundaries, it actually forces you to prioritize your work better. Most people think, oh, well,
Totally.
long hours and I'll just log in on Saturday and I'll just make sure that I'm working really hard. My boss is going to notice, I'll be rewarded. But if in the reality all of that extra time is spent doing stuff that's not actually valuable, it doesn't help you get any closer to your goals. And so this frame
Exactly.
of mind of, hey, being productive doesn't mean you need to be doing a lot. And I'm going to paraphrase here, it almost means more like you need to be delivering a lot of impact. Right? Whether that's to your business or to your career or to your job, of how do I hone in on what are the right things that are going to drive my business forward the most, and then motivate myself to do that. And I think that's such a good place for people to get in that headspace. And our thing on this is that, like, when I tell clients your job, you are an entrepreneur and you are selling yourself to your company,
I
right? You
love
are
that.
that you're selling. And if you think of it from that lens, again, similar to how you were describing the entrepreneurial woman, you need to be focused on delivering the most impact with your time. It's not about how much stuff you do, right?
Exactly.
I wrote 3,000 sticky notes today. Maybe I feel really productive, but if that doesn't drive my business forward in any way, then it's a bunch of wasted,
Totally.
right? I don't know
No,
why sticky notes.
totally.
There you go. We're running with sticky.
I honestly love everything that you are saying and so connect with it because as I shifted into coaching full time and started to let go of my freelancing clients, I felt this kind of like, oh my gosh, I should be working on my freelancing clients' work. I should be doing all those tasks. I should be doing that for them. But then it prevented me from doing the necessary tasks that I needed to do in order to actually grow my business. And I had a phase of like really not knowing what my priorities were and not really understanding what my motivation to do certain things was. And so when I was able to kind of understand that and see that and then take the step back and be like, okay, what is it that I actually want to accomplish in a year? What is it that will drive me to accomplish that? What will help me accomplish that? And what's preventing me from accomplishing that? What's making it harder, whether it's like in the big picture or in the day-to-day, like the dread that I have for these other tasks or being interrupted during, my deep work hour and having to answer urgent emails and just things like that. It's like, okay, is this actually urgent? Is this actually my priority? Or am I allowing someone else's priorities and someone else's urgent needs to kind of mask as my own? And why am I doing that? Why am I so afraid to, kind of say, that's actually not urgent. It might be to you and great. I will help you in whatever way I can, when I can, when I'm able to, when I finished my priorities. And doing that shift for me was what allowed me to actually get into coaching full time and to actually feel productive every single week, because I was able to really hone in on, okay, this is my motivation for doing this, and this is how I'm going to do it. And this is the blocks that I have, and these are the blocks that I need to work on overcoming. And having that awareness, I strongly believe awareness is power, because then you're able to make adjustments and make these shifts. And so that is, like, motivation to me is really the key to productivity, because it's understanding why you want to do something.
What you said about why am I letting someone else's urgency drive my urgency and my productivity, like, snaps for Emily, right? Because this applies to so many areas of our life.
Literally. Right? It's every domain.
It's your boss. It's your client. It's your spouse. It's your kids, right? Their level of urgency so often overrides our own, when if we were better able to say, hey, the highest priority items are these. Mm-hmm. We have time carved to get to the types of things you're bringing up, but it's going to have to wait for that bucket. Right now, I'll say there's probably an exception here. Like, my 5-year-old toddler comes to me and he wants a snack. I'm not going to say, like, hey, you have to wait 1 hour, 22 minutes till mommy's done with what she's doing. I'm probably just going to get a snack. But I do think that reactivity, we tend to feel other people's energy. We feel their urgency. We feel other people's urgency, and we're able to respond to that. But sometimes that overrides what we know are the right things, because they feel like the most stressful things, right? And I don't know that that's the right set. So you've already touched on a few, like, great tips for how we can start to, like, shift this mindset. But, like, what are some more tactical things that listeners can do if we're like, hey, okay, I'm realizing as you're talking, I do respond to other people's urgency. I do, you know, spend time on tasks that aren't really driving my business or my company forward. I do, like, what are some ways that they can start to overcome that? What are some of those tips you share?
One of the best tips that I felt was the most transformational for me personally, and what I see being really transformational for a lot of my clients, is kind of like what I said before with awareness is power, is firstly being aware in the moment and realizing when it's actually happening in that moment. Now, that takes practice. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not the easiest kind of shift to make. But once you have this awareness, like, oh, you know, this is something I need to look out for. This is something I realize that is I'm struggling with. Okay, great. You have that awareness. But let's bring that awareness a little bit farther and realize when it's happening in the moment that you get that urgent email. In the moment when you're actually trying to respond back and you're being reactive. And if you can catch yourself and be like, hey, this is the reactive me talking right now, but I know that I'll be much more productive in my day today if I can be proactive instead. So what is the proactive choice that I have? And just stopping yourself, challenging yourself a little bit, and realizing the options in front of you. Because when you realize that you have options in front of you, which you always do, you're then empowered to choose the one that empowers you. And that right there is really just a biggest shift you can make, because it really is a shift into becoming productive rather than just trying to act productively.
There's so many applications for what you just described, right? And I'm a do it now or forget kind of individual. Right. And I laugh. I just hired my first VA in my business, and we were talking about emails, and she's like, well, how fast do you normally respond? I was like, well, usually within like 3 to 5 minutes, but please do not hold yourself to that standard, because I'm that person that, like, if it's unread in my inbox, I'm like, that is going to drive me nuts until I get that cleared out. Right. It's like a personality type thing. But I'm also that person that, like, I may table an email that I know is going to take more brain power than I have at present, and say, hey, I need to leave it unread so I don't forget about it. But I'm not going to be able to do that the right way right now. It'll have to wait until later. And then it goes on my to-do list and I bucket time for it and I get to it at the end of my day. But I do think it's interesting, because that taking a pause, I think a lot of times we really struggle with that. I know I've struggled with it, especially if I'm on a meeting with somebody who I think is triggering me, right? Whether that's my corporate job, or that's a client that I'm coaching, or if it's someone that or I'm in a circumstance where, you know, somebody's pinging me, hey, I'm in a meeting and I need this right this second,
right? Like you naturally want to be like, great, I have that. I'm ready. I've been sitting in the wings, but maybe that's not actually the best use. It's like, hey, I understand that this is important right now, but I think we'd be better off tabling this. We could talk about it after your call. So I love that idea of like taking that pause, giving yourself time mm-hmm. to is your best self rather than feeling like I have to be on everything for everybody. So when it comes to like working from home, hybrid working, that also kind of throws in a wrench in it, right? My laundry could be going off. My husband's downstairs asking if I want to take the dogs for a walk. My boss is pinging me. My kids want a snack. So like, what are some tips? What are some best practices to kind of manage all of that chaos?
Yeah. So I have two main tips that honestly, if you can do these two tips, I can guarantee that you will start to feel a little bit more structure in your life. And when you have structure, productivity naturally comes. So the first tip I strongly believe in is routine. Just having a routine in place and utilizing rituals. We all already have rituals. A really common one is a coffee ritual. So making your coffee in the morning, that first cup, and just loving
it. Very ritualistic on my side.
There we go. If I don't
know, my kids are like, Mom, are we okay to talk to you yet? Or do you need coffee first? Right? So I just laughed as you were saying it because it was like, I do have a coffee ritual. It's when I coffee, I journal, I decompress, I wake up. It is a must in the morning.
Oh, your morning routine sounds amazing. So that's exactly what I'm talking about right there, actually. So just having those structured, I like to kind of think of a routine as a workflow. So kind of having structured workflows throughout your day and defining the moments when, let's say, you are going to answer emails, the moments when you are going to go walk the dogs, the moments when you are going to do these, like do laundry and do these things and decide that the night before. And outline your day just so that way you have a basic understanding of, okay, this is what I actually realistically have time for, and this is what I'm committing to. So once you have those commitments and once you understand what your availability is, you then also communicate that to anyone that you live around and anyone that you work with. So if it's your spouse and they also work from home, which my boyfriend works from home alongside me, so oftentimes we'll be in meetings at opposite times and have lunch at opposite times and just all those kind of things. But we always have a moment in the morning where we're like, hey, what's your day today? This is my day. This is your day. Okay. This is what time you can do lunch. Amazing. This is what time I can do lunch. Can you leave leftovers out? Like, and just organizing together and communicating like, hey, this is what I need during this time. I'm recording a podcast. I'm going to need it to be quiet. Do you mind having your headphones in during your own meeting? Just things like that and being transparent and honest about what you need with those around you is honestly a game changer. And we so often don't do that because we have this urgency feel of their needs and of their requests and all of that kind of stuff. And so when we can take a second and be like, you know what, I also have that. And if we can both tackle these together and figure out how we can both get them done, what you need and what I need, I have a feeling we'll both be feeling a lot better. And we'll both be a lot happier at the end of the day. And we'll both be more productive. So creating a routine and then communicating that routine with anyone that you need to in order to set up your boundaries, like we kind of touched on earlier too.
These are so great. And it's funny. I had a friend once that I was very close with. We were all at lunch, my husband, myself, and my best friend at the time. And she looks at his phone and it was like a calendar reminder. And it was like lunch with Kendall. And she was like, you put that in your phone? I was like, no, I put that in his phone. Where I'm like, okay, we're doing lunch this day at this time. Please put it in your calendar so that you get a reminder and you don't forget that you have to meet with me and we're going to be doing things. Like I am that person that's like, hey, we have a schedule to keep.
Yep.
What we're doing this week, right? And I was laughing as you were talking. So I have a remarkable tablet. I can't remember if I've talked about this on a podcast episode before, but I ordered a planner from Etsy that I think was like $7 that has the month, and then you can click on any day in the month and it will take you to the day. And then it'll also click on that and you can take you to the week or it can take you to your to-do list. And it's all like interconnected. And I do Sundays. I sit down and I write out, here's all my work meetings. Here's all my coaching stuff. Here's when I need to make content. Here's my to-dos. And then I sit with my husband. I'm like, great. Can you do lunch on Tuesday at 12:30? That would be super great. And I just carve that out, right? Because
Perfect.
Otherwise, you do end up being very reactive and things change very quickly. And there's lots that are going on at the same time. And so I love those two tips. I think they're really helpful. I think especially so many people will say, I'm not a planner.
Yes. Or routine is boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just fly by the seat of my pants. I just do it. And like for somebody like me, I'm like all the time. I should do it. Like, it's just not, it's unbelievable to me. I'm like, you do. How interesting.
About it. Like, honestly, get nervous, get anxiety, just imagining doing that.
Right. And I joke, my husband is, I always joke, there's like two people in every relationship. There's like the planner. And then there's the person who just like shows up with their suitcase for vacation. So my husband shows up with his suitcase, which he probably packed like 3 seconds before we had to leave with like no idea where we're going or what we're doing. And I always laugh because I have like reservations and meals planned and flights and everything. And so I'm curious, you know, you've been doing this for a while. You're working with people who are improving their productivity. How do you help those are less inclined to enjoy a routine or to enjoy planning? Like, what are some of the ways you help them overcome those hurdles as well?
Great question, because I feel like that's so common. And it's a lot of people, honestly. And so with those kind of clients, what I first really talk about is more mindset, actually. And we really dive deeper into, okay, so why do we have this resistance? What is it that it, like what experience in your past or what storyline in your head is really adding to the self-sabotage? And why are we so nervous about overcoming it? What is it that you're fearful of happening? And when we can ask that question and dive deep, there's always something that arises, whether it is a storyline that they repeat to themselves in their head that, you know, prevents them from wanting to move forward in a way because they're scared of something that is going to happen as a result. That's really common. Or maybe it's just habitual and they just don't realize that, you know what? Sure, I feel good now, but I could feel better. And realizing that there actually is kind of a light at the end of the tunnel. It doesn't have to be so rigid and it doesn't have to be so boring. And then you know what? Let's add some fun into your routine. Let's add some play into your routine. Let's make it more what you like. So that way you actually want to do it. And when we can break it down that way and realize like, oh, routine just allows me to do more things that I want to do. Oh, of course I want to be in a routine. And that's really how I break it down. And so we start with mindset. We ask all those kind of questions. And then we really dive into the answers and understanding, okay, so then what do you need in order to create a routine? Oh, you need more fun. You need more X, Y, Z. Let's add it in. And then typically excitement is the next step that happens because they realize, oh, this is empowering. This isn't boring. This is this. I do need this. I'm human. It's kind of how my brain works. So let's do it.
It's like parenting my toddlers. If you clean your room, you can go run outside for an hour.
Exactly.
I'm excited about cleaning our room. We are. Let's do it. I love it. It's good to put excitement in because for me, like my excitement, and this is going to sound boring to 90% of the people listening, I love to work out. I do. If I do not work out, I am a stressed ball of anxiety because I drink too much caffeine and I don't have any other outlets. Okay, great chat. So for me, I plan so that I can work out because if I don't plan, I cannot make it to the gym. I know this about myself because then I end up bogged down in meetings all day and then my day is over and I'm like, I have not moved all day. So I love this idea of like productivity is important, not just because it helps you achieve your goals and it helps you get the things you want, but also productivity is important because it helps you do the things you want to do that right now, maybe you feel you don't have time for. So what a great note for us to kind of wrap on. So I do this with every guest. I love to hear what is one tactical tip for our listeners. If they listen to this episode and they're like, oh my gosh, I want to be more productive. I want to improve my mindset. If you were like, do one thing tomorrow, what would that one thing be to help them get started?
One thing tomorrow would be to focus on your reactivity and catch yourself and see like, when are you being reactive and do you have more proactive options available to you?
Oh, I love that. So where can people find you? If they listen to this, Emily, and they're like, oh my gosh, I need a productivity life coach. I want to meet with Emily. Where can they go to get more information about you and what you offer?
Absolutely. You can go to theproductivityflow.com. You can see all my coaching programs there. I also have a blog with a bunch of free resources and tools that you can check out too. And then check me out on TikTok too, The Productivity Flow.
Awesome. So Emily, we will add both your TikTok link and your website in the show notes below. If you listen to this episode and you're like, oh my gosh, I love Emily. I need more productivity in my life. Go ahead and check her out, but also give our episode 5 stars on wherever you're listening. Make sure that you're commenting below if you are on YouTube and that you are subscribing to our channel so that we can get more amazing guests like Emily to come back and chat with us. Otherwise, Emily, it was amazing having you on the show. We'll definitely have to have you back in the future.
Thank you so much. I had so much fun chatting with you.